Thank you, Dr. Patterson. Thank you, Quartet. Thank you, Ginger, for sharing with us in our worship service through music in such a beautiful way. I knew about the quartet. I asked them to come. I really wanted to showcase them here today because I'm trying to get up a series of 5 sermons, and as soon as I do, we're going on the road because they're good enough to do it. It's also a joy to have Ginger participating in the service because of her responsibilities in the church here on this campus and the responsibilities that we have. Very seldom do we have the privilege of working together, and I do appreciate that. Grateful for the staff who've come today to support me in this endeavor and to be part of the sessions here on campus. And as I came in, I was pleased to see that all 4 of my friends have also come to be of support today, and I want to thank you for being here too. It's a real joy to return to this place, as Dr. Patterson has already indicated, which has such deep meaning and significance for me. The scripture background for my comments this morning is found in Hebrews, the 12th chapter, verses 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. May the Lord bless this reading from his divinely inspired word. More years ago than I like to remember, I came from the extreme western part of the state to attend Wake Forest College. I had the good fortune of being reared in a Christian home with a Christian father who was a public school principal and a lay preacher, godly mother whose father was a Baptist pastor in western North Carolina, and a loving and supportive church that nurtured me before and after my salvation experience. In July of my 18th year, I had what was for me a clear and definite call to the ministry. Arrangements were hastily made for me to enter Wake Forest College. And it was at Wake Forest, here on this campus, that godly men opened up the Word of God, which I believed had been given by God, and gave it new meaning and understanding, which was exciting and fulfilling. I will always be grateful for our professors such as Dr. Owen Herring, Dr. George Griffin, Dr. Alan Easley, and Dr. Mark Lovelace, who stood and instilled in those of us who were in their classes a reverence and awe and appreciation for the Word of God. There were other professors who were ordained Baptist ministers teaching other disciplines, such as Dr. O'Flaherty in German, Dr. Spees in physics, Dr. Patrick in sociology, and some of these served as pastors of churches in the area. And I mention that to say that the Christian faith was a vital part of all the disciplines to which I was exposed at Wake Forest. Following my college days, I did have the opportunity of attending Southeastern Seminary, which had been established here at this place. Again, godly men built upon the truth that had been instilled in me at Wake Forest, and they deepened my understanding of and appreciation for the Bible as the Word of God and opened new vistas of evangelism, missions, and ministry opportunities. Professors such as Dr. Leo Green in Old Testament, Dr. Edward McDowell in New Testament, Dr. John Whalen in Christian Education, Dr. Garland Hendricks in Church Growth, and Dr. Olin T. Binkley in ethics. These people made an impact upon my life which shall last through eternity, and I'm deeply grateful. So in case I need to say it again, I consider this to be hallowed ground, and I'm grateful for the privilege of being here. From my experiences in Western North Carolina, Wake Forest College, Southeastern Seminary, and now 40 years in the ministry, I have learned something about what it means to be a North Carolina Baptist. I'm sure that's not too different from being a Virginia Baptist or a Texas Baptist or a Missouri Baptist or what have you. However, there are unique characteristics of time and place that do determine the nature of individuals and churches and convention. And I wish to speak to those characteristics this morning. North Carolina Baptists, from their beginning, have been known as a people of the book. Those early Baptists were in the forefront of those who insisted that the Bible alone was the sole authority for faith and practice. They insisted that our authority was not in the church, not in a creed, not in tradition, but the Bible alone occupied that place. Colonel John D. Whitford, historian of New Bern, one of the early towns in North Carolina and the first state capital, said, and I quote, "The old Baptists were great in their simplicity, their integrity, and their earnestness. For them, it was the Word of God, His command. They heard it. They did their best to obey. God's Word was first, last, and always with them," end of quote. So no creed but the Bible, no textbook but the Bible, is more than a cliche for the people who founded this convention. The Bible became the foundation for all that was birthed and grown and developed in the way of missions, evangelism, stewardship, and Christian education. Out of devotion for the Word of God, the seven colleges and universities were brought together because Baptists felt that the message of the Bible was imperative not only for the ministers and church leaders, but for the people in general. We happily supported the children's home, the retirement homes, and Baptist hospital because of devotion and commitment to the admonition of Scripture to minister unto the least of these. The two agencies, the Biblical Court and the Baptist Foundation, which assure freedom of expression on the one hand, and the continuation of support for missions and evangelism until Jesus comes again, all grow out of devotion and commitment to the Word of God. There has never been any question about the sacredness, the authority, and the veracity of Scripture so far as the people called Baptists is concerned. There has been a great deal of difference and a lot of issues that surrounded interpretation. I want to allude to two of these. Christian education was a burning issue. There were those who sincerely believed in the early days that God would miraculously bestow upon His members, His ministers, divine wisdom and knowledge and unction concerning the Bible and every phase of the Christian ministry at the time of their call. There were others who believed the Bible is to be taken seriously when it says that we are to love the Lord our God with all of our minds. And also that we're to take seriously the admonition of Scripture, which says that we are to study to show ourselves approved unto God, workmen who need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And the people who became Convention Baptists were the ones who opted for an educated ministry and an educated clergy and laity and general population. We had another burning issue revolving evangelism and missions. In those early days, particularly in the Abbots Creek Union Association and the old Kahookie Association, there were those Baptists in North Carolina who believed in absolute predestination and election, and they held that any efforts at evangelism and missions was not only wasted, but it was an affront to God. There were others who took seriously the admonition of Acts 1:8, where the Scripture says, "You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world." And the Scripture in Matthew 28, 18 and 20, when Jesus says, "As you're going into the world, make disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit," and many other references in the New Testament, which says that we are ambassadors for Christ. And again, those Baptists who became known as Convention Baptists opted for missions and evangelism. It was out of devotion to the Word of God that the scope and nature and ministry of the Baptist State Convention was born. And for those who are true Baptists, that is still the essence of who we are this very day, a people of the book. Second characteristic of North Carolina Baptists has been a fierce independence and a love for freedom. Those early Baptists took seriously the doctrine of soul liberty, soul freedom, and the corresponding doctrines of priesthood, a believer, and autonomy of local congregations. One of the three purpose statements for organizing the Baptist State Convention in 1830 was, quote, that the churches be not bound, end of quote. An affirmation that the convention was to exist to see that there would never be anything that would try to bind the churches or coerce them or in any wise diminish their freedom. This commitment to independence and freedom has characterized Baptists through the years. Baptists were in the forefront of those freedom fighters who were fighting for freedom in general and religious freedom in particular in the state of North Carolina. The fight for freedom, freedom without interference from the church, without any interference from the state upon the church, reached its climax during the days of Governor Tryon. In 1771, there were 700 men who were called the Regulators, made up primarily of Baptists with a few others, including the Moravians. They took up arms against the state because they would not accept the state's vestry rights, which held that the state would approve the pastors of the churches and would set the salaries that would be paid to those pastors. You know how that went over with the Baptists. And so these Regulators took up arms. The leader of the Regulators was one Benjamin Merrill, a deacon in the Jersey Baptist Church near Lexington, where I had the privilege of serving for some 6 years. He and these others risked their lives to ensure that the churches would be free in every area of pastoral ministry without any interference from the state. In May of 1771, Tryon's army captured Benjamin Merrill at his farm in the Jersey community, and they took him to Hillsborough for trial. He was tried and convicted of treason and as an outlaw, and he heard Chief Justice Howard render this sentence, and I quote, "I now conclude my duty by pronouncing the awful sentence of the law upon you, which is, Benjamin Merrill, you shall be carried back to the place from which you came," his farm. "There you shall be hanged by the neck. You shall be cut down while still alive. Your bowels shall be removed from you and burned before your face while still alive. Your head will be cut off. Your body shall be divided into four quarters and shall be at the pleasure of His Majesty. May God have mercy on your soul," end of quote. Let me say parenthetically, I've read that statement and I've made that statement dozens of times. Those words never course across my mind, but what a sense of awe and reverence boils up in my soul. For people like Benjamin Merrill, who were willing to pay that kind of sacrifice that we might have the religious freedom we're enjoying here this morning. So, sense of freedom and independence is very dear to North Carolina Baptists. The slogan, "First in freedom as well as first in flight," is not coincidental, because the American Revolution began in North Carolina with the Mecklenburg Declaration, which declared freedom and independence from the crown. That is still an abiding, heartfelt commitment of Baptists in North Carolina and the population in general to this day. You might be interested in knowing North Carolina is the only state in the Union that does not grant veto power to the governor. We don't trust anyone. with too much authority. And that's true in churches as well as in government. And it is out of this independence and the search for freedom that has grown a rich diversity of churches in our state. Diversity in location, size, style of worship, approaches to mission and ministry, but to my mind, it is this diversity that has added a rich and an abiding complement to who we are and what we are about as a people of God. As the churches individually have sought to discover what is God's will for them and their life as they seek to live out the Great Commission of Jesus Christ. A fiercely independent and freedom-loving people. One other characteristic I would mention is that North Carolina Baptists are evangelistic and missionary in spirit. Two of the original purposes for our founding the convention addressed this. The first one said that the convention was to engage in evangelism that would result in churches all across North Carolina. And the second was the convention was to provide a vehicle for a mission and ministry among the churches. And out of that commitment has grown North Carolina Baptist involvement in missions and ministry. Baptists in this state were in the forefront, particularly WMU, in bringing about successful endeavors in the $75 million campaign which resulted in the cooperative program in 1925. WMU North Carolina was also one of the leaders in developing the Lottie Moon Christmas offering and the Annie Armstrong Easter offering, and many of those early workers in WMU North Carolina worked at no salary in order that every penny raised could go to missions. In addition to that, some of the earliest missionaries appointed by the Foreign Mission Board came from our state. Matthew T. Yates, an early graduate of Wake Forest College here on this campus, and his wife, Eliza, from Western Wake County, North Carolina, were appointed as foreign missionaries to China in 1846 by the Foreign Mission Board. To put that in perspective, that is 1 year after the Southern Baptist Convention was organized. Other missionaries, such as Frederick James, appointed in 1847, David and Maggie Herring, appointed in 1848, again to China, reflect the dedication and commitment of individual Baptists and churches to be involved in witnessing to the uttermost parts of the world. And that commitment is still prevalent today. There are some 213 missionaries under appointment by the Foreign Mission Board from North Carolina and 90 missionaries who retired from our state. North Carolina historically has been second to Texas, and I hate to confess that here in North Carolina, but we historically have been second to Texas in the number of missionaries appointed by the Foreign Mission Board. In addition to missionaries and the work of the early days, North Carolina Baptists today are committed to missions and evangelism. Committed through financial support to undergird these missionaries around the world in 1995, North Carolina Baptist gave $28,500,000 through the cooperative program. They had a record of $10,500,000 given to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering, $4,300,000 given through the Annie Armstrong Easter offering, over $800,000 given to World Hunger, and other hundreds of thousands of dollars given to various mission causes. In addition to missionaries and the money support, North Carolina Baptists are involved in personal, voluntary, hands-on missions through our missions partnerships with the Home Mission Board, the Foreign Mission Board, as well as mission endeavors in our own state. 1996 brings to conclusion a pervasive partnership between North Carolina and the New York Convention. I met one of the young ladies coming in the door this morning who commented about seeing me in New York and thanking North Carolina Baptists for their involvement in the mission work, particularly in the Thousand Island Association in New York. More than 1,000 people from our state went to New York last year, involved in every kind of evangelistic and mission endeavor one can imagine. In addition, our folks gave over $77,000 to support the budget of the New York Convention. Our foreign mission partnerships, particularly in Togo, West Africa, Sao Paulo, Brazil, where we assisted that convention in starting 500 new churches, Ukraine, a former part of the Soviet Union, which is going to conclude this year, and then our beginning partnership with South Africa, These foreign mission partnerships have done more to involve North Carolina Baptists in global missions than any one thing I know. Opportunity has been given to tens of thousands of Baptists, Baptists of all kinds, doctors and nurses and electricians and carpenters and plumbers and educators and on, to be involved in direct mission ministries and evangelism around the world. And as these people have come back into their churches, there has been a revival of commitment to missions in fulfillment of the commission of our Lord around the whole earth. And the interesting thing is that those people have gone out of those churches paying their own way, have come back, and rather than that diminishing mission support from those individual churches, we have demonstrated that they have increased their support of missions around the world as they've had a part in it themselves. In addition to that, we have had literally tens of thousands of Baptists involved in missions here at home, and that rejoices my heart as much as anything else, because if we are not on missions here, it seems to me that any efforts we make anywhere else are sort of hypocritical. North Carolina Baptist men have been in the forefront of disaster relief and dental medical missions, not only in our state, but throughout the nation. WMU last week entered into a commitment with the governor of North Carolina to involve 3,000 churches, or at least 3,000 individuals in churches, in a Save Our Students endeavor, seeking to reach out to these students who are at risk by mentoring and tutoring and helping them to develop into productive students and citizens, rather than allowing them to go the way that many of them have been going. Missions and ministry for these I have mentioned and scores of others is more than a program. It is more than an emphasis. It is a lifestyle as people are trying to live out the reality of their faith in response to the commission of our Lord Jesus Christ. There are many other things that could be said and should be said about North Carolina Baptists. But it seems to me if one is to appreciate this part of the kingdom, and to have any understanding of what makes us the way we are, there needs to be some appreciation for the struggles and the decisions and the commitments that characterize us. A people of the book, fiercely independent and lovers of freedom, and committed through the Lordship of Jesus to missions and evangelism at home and around the world. That's who we are. We invite all who will to join us in that mission. Thank you.